Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a loaded Friday. This, in cloudy Los Angeles, is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are on iHeartRadio. We're on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. 1 hour from now, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, former Yankee great, going to be joining us on the show. And Joy Taylor is joining me. We get through another week. We are so lucky. I got some digital and podcasting numbers. They're up. We have no games. Our March beat our February, and that included the Super Bowl in February. So thank you so much for supporting us. The NFL, Joy, just keeps giving us little bits and pieces every day. And, you know, this is like Europe and soccer. We love our NFL football. And we got more news today.
The news keeps coming, and I'm grateful for it. Yes, thank you for everyone that is watching and listening, because you're keeping our lives very normal in a very crazy time.
Yes.
So we appreciate it.
Yeah, I got some dry cleaning back yesterday. It made my day. You know,
that's exciting.
You appreciate the little things in life, the very little things in life. I would two things I'm going to invest in going forward: Zoom, that company Zoom, and a drive-in haircut place. If one of those opens, I'm God, I need a haircut for viruses for the next 30 years. Drive-in haircuts. I'm all for it. So I do not believe in coincidences. Maybe I'm cynical. Maybe I'm jaded. Whatevs. I don't know. But I don't really believe in stuff. If you're a guy and you're dating a girl and her ex-boyfriend just happens to be in town and she doesn't show up last night, I don't think it's a coincidence. She's fooling around on you. And the reality is, when things line up, there is usually a reason. It's my job to pay attention to things lining up. So yesterday, Ian Rappaport, a very good NFL reporter, said he expects New England to use a premium pick on Tom Brady's replacement. Well, they don't have a second-round pick. So that would be their number one pick. Because a premium pick, a third round, maybe high third round pick. Now remember, New England's got 3 third round picks and a first round pick and a fourth and a fifth and 4 sixth round picks. And they're getting compensatory picks next year. So they could give you picks next year and still be okay. So suddenly Ian Rappaport, who used to work for the Boston Herald and still has all sorts of connections there, is saying New England is going to use a pick to get a quarterback. And the name they throw out is Tua. There's also a belief, wink, wink, a belief. He's got it sourced. It could somehow end up with Tua. What really makes this interesting is I get up this morning after Ian Rappaport said that yesterday. Oh, he's got a tweet this morning. Lions GM Bob Quinn, a former Patriot employee, and Matt Patricia, by the way, a former Belichick assistant and friend, Ian Rappaport says, yeah, Bob Quinn's had conversations with teams about trading to number 3 draft pick away. This is where the draft starts, folks. So what do you know? Let's add up the dots. A former Boston Herald reporter connected with New England, in the last 24 hours, reports New England's very interested in Tua and a premium pick and getting a quarterback. And then the next morning, Bob Quinn is saying, you know, we're taking all sorts of calls for the number 3 pick. They used to work together, Bob Quinn, Belichick. Belichick, Matt Patricia. Oh, let me add this. New England's got a bunch of picks, and New England likes. We see them every year. Move up, move down. Move up, move down. Move up, move down. In the draft. They're not the Cincinnati Bengals historically. He's always using draft picks as commodities, and he's trading them, and he's selling them. So, first of all, Jarrett Stidham is not the future. For anybody saying Jarrett Stidham's the future, he's not the future. Let's get that off the table. Now, I do believe they want to get Trevor Lawrence next year or Justin Fields, but they may see Tua as I see Tua. I see Tua as a left-handed Drew Brees. Some injury concerns early in his career. Drew Brees, first year, injury concerns. Tua, college injury concerns. Too good to pass up. All-time accuracy. Too good to pass up. Didn't have to wait, unlike Joe Burrow, for him to be a senior to be any good. So that's how I start my show today. Very, very interesting. And now let's go to the whiny Cleveland Browns. So a couple days ago, a story came out from a radio station in New York. It's very popular. It's called WFAN. Fan. They talk sports. Clever. WFAN. One of their reporters, who I don't know personally, but they have a lot of very talented people, came out and reported. WFAN is the New York Giants station. So there's a lot of, you know, the Giants are the talk of that station a lot. The New York Giants and WFAN. They've had a long, long relationship in the city. They have events together and parties together, and they have access. Employees have access that you wouldn't have if you weren't the broadcasting site for a team. So one of the reporters says, Minnesota's looking at OBJ. And the Cleveland Browns just not happy with it. And so that morning when I got the news, I said, this is fascinating. I said, I don't have my sources yet. But I think it's good for Minnesota. I think it's good for OBJ. And I think it's great for Cleveland. I actually think it's great for Cleveland. And then over the course of the day and the next 2 days, I said I had 2 to 3 different sources. I think I know three sources that said it's not going to happen, but it doesn't mean OBJ's necessarily happy. I'm also told by a source that broke the Tom Brady story to me, OBJ, you know, it's not like he's miserable, but, you know, it's not perfect. So the Cleveland Browns, and they are very upset. Their chief strategy officer, Paul DePodesta, their strategy hasn't been good for several years, so I don't know his job status. But Paul DePodesta confirmed this is nonsense and I'm not happy.
In short, I'll just say it was completely false. You know, it's frustrating a little bit, obviously. I think it's pretty clear that we're trying to build at this point. We've done an awful lot in free agency. We're excited about what we have a chance to do in the draft. And we're really building around a core of players that we think have a chance to be a championship caliber core. And the idea that we would take away from that core, you know, at this moment just doesn't make a whole lot of sense and really not something that we're exploring at all. So, it's completely false.
Oh, completely false. Didn't you say that you were really into Freddie Kitchens? Remember that? When guys like me would say it's over. Completely false. These reports are completely false. Paul DePodesta still worked for the organization. When the owner, I said John Dorsey doesn't fit here, he's going to get blown out. That is completely false. You blew him out. Sorry, Cleveland, if we don't believe everything you say. Chief strategy officer, I've watched your strategy. It's not great. Ever? Last 2 decades? Not picking on this guy. But if you want to know why guys like me are skeptical, and I don't think OBJ is getting traded to the Vikings because I trust my sources, but I totally support WFAN reporting something, and let's be honest here. Minnesota said they love Percy Harvin. They wouldn't trade him. They did. Minnesota said Stephon Diggs is in our future. They lied. They traded him. The New York Giants said we won't trade OBJ. They did. And Cleveland is a misinformation factory. Let me give you some facts about OBJ. Nobody thinks he's ending his career there, even you guys in Cleveland. Here's a fact. OBJ wants to win now. He doesn't want a rebuilding process. Cleveland's in a constant rebuilding process. Fact number 3. OBJ, it was never a place, and I talked to him. It was never a place he mentioned. He mentioned the Rams. He mentioned the 49ers. He mentioned the Patriots. He's a Paris, New York, Hollywood guy. He's a Bel Air guy. He's not Burbs of Cleveland guy. And here, again, there's a reason that so many reporters are skeptical of politicians because they say things and do the opposite. So reporters, it's very healthy to be skeptical of politicians. There's no organization in the NFL I'm more skeptical of Cleveland. When guys like me came out and said, Freddie Kitchens, it's over. You can read the body language. They ran out. The GM, he is our guy. You literally fired him 12 minutes after the season. So you didn't make your mind up that day. You made your mind up months before. the owner, when people like me banged on John Dorsey. He is the GM of the future. You fired him a minute after the season. So, I'm sorry, Cleveland, if your strategy officer and your organization's upset, but when it comes to trades, and I get a lot of information, nobody's ever honest on trades. Now, I don't think OBJ is a great fit in Cleveland, but I do know it's not a perfect spot for him. It's not. He's not going to say that because he wants to be a good teammate. And they know. I mean, they're overcompensating every time they can for OBJ. But, fan bases, I don't pay much attention to them because they're fan, short for fanatic. But look in the mirror, Cleveland fans. Your owner lied about your GM. Your GM lied about your coach. The Giants lied about OBJ. Minnesota twice said I love a receiver and traded him. If you want to know why media are skeptical, and in this case, OBJ I don't think goes to the Vikings. But if this team went 0-3 to start the season, you don't think they're going to make changes? They can get something for OBJ. And you think he's going to end his career there? That's where he doesn't want to be with a rebuilding team. So the skepticism by the media and the reporting by the media is absolutely completely justified. Yeah, people, if you get a call from somebody and it involves OBJ and the Cleveland Browns, don't believe all the denials. It appears everything with Cleveland is misinformation, and OBJ in New York was nothing but information. So if some guy from a New York radio station goes with it and doesn't listen to the doubters and the claimers that it's false, so be it. I'll have his back.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Michael Jordan's documentary on another network starts Sunday. I can't wait to watch it. It will get higher ratings than any NBA regular season game this year. Very few exceptions. It'll get higher NBA ratings than probably a lot of NBA games in the last several years. Now, some of that's because of the virus. We just want anything. Some of it's because Michael Jordan is still more popular than any current NBA player, not named LeBron James. Now, I'm not in any way denying the popularity of Michael Jordan. It's like Peyton Manning and Brett Favre. But when Peyton Manning and Brett Favre leave the NFL, I got to be honest. I don't miss them. I got Patrick Mahomes. I got Lamar Jackson. I got this kid in Arizona, Kyler Murray. I don't even think Baker Mayfield's good. And I love watching him play. Because that's what the NFL has with college football. They put their arms around it. They hug each other. They understand they're both good for each other. Over the last 3 weeks, Joy and I have talked about college football players, many that you've never seen play. I don't know if Joe Burrow's going to be any good, but I'm watching every freaking snap of a Bengals game this year. I'm going to watch the Cincinnati Bengals, who are going to finish 5-11, and I'm going to watch every damn snap. Because I have an emotional connection to Joe Burrow. Because I have an emotional connection to Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray and Sam Darnold. You don't even have to be a good player on a good team and I'll watch because I'm connected emotionally. The NBA doesn't get along with college basketball. They see them as bad guys stealing from the kids. Football doesn't. They see college football as a maturation process, developing young men, hardening them for the NFL. Don't you think it's ironic or strange? Because I don't believe in coincidences. There's 15 to 20 NFL players that get me to a TV set. Lamar Jackson's on, I'm watching. Sam Darnold's playing, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. I'm not just mentioning, not just quarterbacks, like star receivers I'm fascinated with. I'm going to sit and watch a draft for 4 days, not because of the virus, though that'll increase the viewer, because I love it, because I have a connection. The NBA doesn't do that. The NBA's new model is something that's good for the individual, I'm sure. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not sure. But I don't think it's good for the collective. Top high school player Jalen Green is going to now enter the G League. Oh, great. From high school bad coaching, AAU bad coaching, to getting coached in the middle of nowhere bad coaching. Like going with Bill Self for a year, Jim Boeheim for a year, Mark Few for a year, Mike Krzyzewski for a year, Roy Williams for a year is a bad thing. What a sacrifice. Really? Never been paid in 18 years. You can't go 4 months. They barely make you go to class. You really think there's an advantage to going, and I'm going to read you some of the G League cities. They're in Canton, Ohio, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Walker, Michigan, Erie, Pennsylvania, College Park, Georgia, Stockton, California, Edinburgh, Texas, Taylorsville, Utah. God, I hope my car doesn't break down in those towns. You think they have elite coaching and medical staffs? You think there's marketing? Nobody with a social life watches that stuff. As Doug Gottlieb calls it, it's the witness protection program of basketball. So great, the kid gets some money. But the only reason I know who Zion is Duke. And that's why Nike and Jordan Brand are all offering up massive deals. This idea, the NFL is not built for the player, yet there's 25 guys that move the TV needle. In little tiny markets like New Orleans and Green Bay, geographically, up in Seattle. But yet the NBA is a star-driven league. They have shoe companies, AAU systems. They're trying to promote, and they got four guys who move the needle. Mark Cuban and I emailed one weekend about 2 months ago, and I offered the suggestion that 10 guys move the needle. He goes, I've seen the research. It's closer to three. Don't you think it's weird that Jordan is still this popular? Hasn't played in 20 years. We got over Peyton Manning and Brett Favre in an hour. Joe Montana in 10 minutes. Because the NFL's brand actually, their model actually is better at developing stars. They use college football as a platform. I don't watch high school videos or AAU basketball. Some do, most don't. And I sure as heck am not going to watch the G League. So that great Jalen Green will go from high school to AAU to the G League to a bad NBA team who I won't see for years unless I'm a diehard one percenter. You can't build a business like that. I'm happy for Jalen Green. I'm happy for young people getting money. But for a star-driven league, why don't they have more guys that are stars that move the needle? Why don't they have more players that sell shoes? Do you know Michael Jordan still sells more shoes than everybody in the NBA? And frankly, there's only one guy in the NBA now that really sells shoes, LeBron. There's a massive drop-off after LeBron. LeBron left the Eastern Conference, and the ratings collapsed. Was it a conference or a guy holding it up? All I'm saying is the NFL draft is why the NFL is king. We have visceral connections to players that we're rooting for or against or we're fascinated by. If I don't watch in high school, people don't. AAU, most don't. G League, no chance in hell. And you go to a bad NBA team for 6 years. Is that how to build a star? Do you have to be as good as Michael or LeBron to be a star? Do you have to be as dominant as Shaq to be a star? Kyler Murray's tiny. He's a star. Baker's a two-time walk-on. He's a star. Everybody doubted Lamar. He's a star. Tom Brady got drafted sixth round. He's a star. I like the NFL's format. Embrace the college atmosphere. Use it as a platform. I'm not asking college guys to stay 4 years. If you're gifted, 1 year of college is perfect. But to see it as the enemy of the sport, I think, is a disservice to not only college basketball, but long-term, maybe the kid. You tell me, Mike Krzyzewski coaches you for 1 year, or you play for the Windy City Bulls in Hoffman Estates, Illinois? I thought that was a subdivision.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back. I've got to read something. This is maybe the greatest tweet in the history of Twitter. So Chrissy Teigen is a very successful model, beautiful person. I once saw her and her husband, John Legend, at a restaurant. My wife freaked out, and I was like pushing my wife, do not bother Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. Do not bother them. We were like, oh my God, there's Chrissy Teigen. And I was like, yeah, it's John Legend, Chrissy Teigen. They live in, you know, probably around here in, you know, Beverly Hills or something. So Chrissy Teigen just went to her Twitter account. God, this is so funny. I love this. She says, my remote died on a show called The Herd, and I've never understood something less. The names, the terms, nothing. She said, he just said, I always like Wisconsin guys, LOL. Well, first of all, this is my favorite tweet in the history of the world. Not everybody understands this show. I do sports. I'm a talk show host. I blab. I'm doing my show usually in a TV facility. I have to do it in a radio show because of the virus. So I haven't had a haircut in a month. I'm a mess. Joy Taylor. Let's put Joy Taylor up to show there are beautiful people on this TV show. A radio simulcast. There's one of us. But Chrissy, the fact that your remote died, I you know what? We all meet people different ways.
It was meant
to
be.
Oh, my God. I'm on the herd, she just tweeted. Well, she's a beautiful person married to a...
I love you, Chrissy.
So is my wife. And I know who she is, at least. Well, she's way more famous than I am, so I should know who she is. And she shouldn't know who I am.
In all fairness, too, her remote died while we had Albert on, and we were in the thick of draft trades and,
yes.
and rumors. So we're in full
By the way,
sports nerd mode.
We've had Snoop Dogg on. We've had some famous people on before. So we occasionally have famous people on. So anyway, thank you. Kind of, I think it's a compliment. Sort of, not at all. I want to say this. Speaking of women, how they view men. Sometimes I think women look at us and think we're crazy. So Tom Brady, just think of his life. Tom Brady is worth $300 million. He's the greatest player in his sport ever. And he married to a beautiful woman, Gisele Bündchen. He's got a brand, it's trying to become a global brand, TB12. So his life is good. His kids are healthy. He's successful. His wife is loving and beautiful. He's the great. Can you imagine if you were the greatest anything? Ice cream salesman. Who cares? Yet, this is why we're all weird as guys. Tom Brady can't let it go that he was drafted in the sixth round. Not the first, not the second, not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, the sixth round. He was overlooked by every team five times, including his team that got him. So despite the nine Super Bowls and the six Super Bowl titles, he went yesterday to his Instagram, Tom Brady, the Buccaneers' new quarterback, and commemorated the 20th anniversary of him being selected by posting all the quarterbacks taken ahead of him in the draft. He's still petty. Quote, nope, I haven't forgot. It is, doubters are jet fuel for competitive men. I am not going to speak for women. Maybe it is. I can't speak for them. I'm not going to speak for guys who aren't competitive. I'm competitive. There is almost nothing in the world that I get more joy out of than proving something wrong. If I had a list of the top three things that make me happiest, seeing my kids succeed is the easy number one. There's nothing close. Number two is either a cocktail at 5 o'clock during this virus or proving people wrong. It is jet fuel. You never forget it. You never forget the doubters. There is nothing better than sticking it to somebody who doubted you. There are people I went to college with, people that didn't hire me, and I love sticking it to them. And the late Kobe Bryant talked about it. And Michael Jordan, think about the greatness of Michael Jordan. He sells more shoes today than any current basketball player, including LeBron. He's the GOAT. He's worth $2.2 billion. Married to a beautiful woman, a model. Life's good, right? No. Michael's Hall of Fame speech, he banged on his high school coach for cutting him. He ripped a teammate in high school who started over him for a year. It's you women must look at us, Joy, and think we're crazy.
Oh, I mean, we definitely do, but it's for lots of other reasons than that.
Oh, really?
I think it's competitive people in general. My nickname is Queen Petty. I have a mental list of lots of things that motivate me all the time. I agree with you. There's nothing more satisfying than winning when someone thought that you were going to fail. I think that's a trait of extremely competitive people. It's what makes you great.
Well, his production company, Tom Brady's, is named after his draft spot, 199 Production.
It defines him.
This is why people go to high school reunions. They want to, hey, look. I lifted weights. I lost all my hair, but I've got a good job now. And you should maybe
all
that's
the pimples
why
are gone.
Yeah, maybe that's why people go to high school reunions to prove people wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So you know how I think Joe Burrow is going to get drafted number one. I think he's good. I think he's a B-plus prospect. I think he's Tony Romo. I don't think he's as great as everybody's saying, but I think he's good. And I think he would be a very good player if he went to the right organization. I don't think he can overcome Cincinnati. As that division's gotten scary good. Baltimore's better. Pittsburgh's get Big Ben back. Cleveland appears to have the right coach, and that roster is stacked. Cincinnati is a total uphill battle, and I don't think he's talented enough to overcome dysfunction. But a scout came out and said, if he ends up Joe Burrow with a pro coach like Joe Brady, with a good system and good players, he'd be good. I mean, he has a lot of things I'd want in my quarterback. But he's not a natural thrower. He can't really pump it down the field. You know, he can throw it back shoulder and uncovered, and he's got some anticipation, but the ball's wobbling. I really like him, but I love him, but I think he's a high-risk guy at number one. And so here's the two things to think about. This is what I think about a lot with quarterbacks coming out of college to pros. Who are they throwing to, and what kind of throws are they making? So when Vince Young, who's probably the best high school football player I've ever seen, go look up YouTube Vince Young High School. He looks like an NFL star in the eighth grade. It's absurd. He goes to Texas. He's unbelievable. And at Texas, he throws his last year at Texas, 3,000 yards and 26 touchdown passes. But I go to the USC-Texas game, and I said to a friend next to me, Chad Scott, we were talking about it, and I remember at one point saying, he's not making NFL throws. He's scrambling around, dumping it off. He had a tight end he loved. You know, he was throwing lollipops down the sideline, and I'm like, there's no seam routes, 32. There's no over-the-shoulder corner throws. These are not NFL throws. He loved his tight end, but he wasn't look left, look right, swivel, keep moving, make a big throw. None of it. And I was never a big fan out of college of Vince Young. And then there's Tim Tebow, who comes out later. I didn't like Tim Tebow. I saw Tim Tebow play live. I saw Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, his numbers, let me read these. Last 2 years at Florida, 5,600 yards, 51 touchdowns and 9 picks. I watched him play. He wasn't making NFL throws. A lot of drag routes. Urban Meyer's his coach. They're scheming guys open. Lollipop deep throws to wide open guys. It's not that he wasn't good, but he wasn't making NFL throws. Joe Burrow is throwing to unbelievable players, and he's not making in a muddy pocket these over-the-top 34-yard sideline throws over this guy, under that guy. I don't see that. Lance Zierlein, who is one of the smartest guys who talks about players, his dad coached in the NFL. He's a former NFL scout. Gil Brandt, by the way, yesterday, who's worked in the NFL or alongside the NFL forever, said he's a souped-up Andy Dalton. I don't think that's inaccurate. And this is what Lance Zierlein says about him.
Every player has flaws, right? And I think the one thing with Burrow that you want to take a look at is his throws that he had troubles with in 2018. That's why you got to look at that 18 tape. I know it's really not good. But when you look at 19, I found an issue, and I was looking at the quadrants of the field to see where is this super accurate quarterback, where does he have any flaws? And what I found was, when you look at intermediate throws outside the numbers, he was 21 of 43 with 5 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And when you go back and look at those same throws in 2018, it was the same issue. And what happens is, he's a quarterback that throws with tremendous anticipation and accuracy, much better this year than last year, but it's the same issue. He has a below average arm by NFL standard.
That's my knock. He doesn't have a gun. I think Jared Goff's got a better arm. I'm not sure it's as good as Matt Ryan. I'm really not. And I think he's athletic and a good kid. But to go to Cincinnati and overcome that innate dysfunction inside the franchise, I don't think he can do it. I think Andrew Luck did it, and he had pratfalls in the end because he fell apart physically because they couldn't protect him.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, Alex Rodriguez. You know who Alex Rodriguez is. 14-time All-Star, MVP, 3 times, almost 700 home runs, and he is joining us. So let's start with this. Baseball, basketball, football, there's all sorts of things. The new normal, A-Rod, we know we're going to have to change things a little bit, maybe shorten seasons. Let's start with the proposal to play in front of no fans. Could you do that?
Well, we've done it before, Colin. I played plenty of B games, backfield in spring training, instructional ball, and a lot of simulated games as well. And it's an adjustment, but it's one that can easily be done, I believe, by players. Always putting that health is the most important thing right now. We have to be very, conservative.
Let's say in 3 weeks, you get the go-ahead. How long – you'd have to do a second spring training, right? Like, how long would it take you to get in game shape?
Well, you hope that you've taken this time as a player to work on other skills. It may be watching video. It might be learning how to spin a curveball a little bit better. It may be watching films on how to be more disciplined at the plate. But you're going to find out in short order who has taken advantage of this time, which players and which teams have been diligent. But to answer your question, I would say 3 weeks is plenty, and the hitters would have an advantage over the pitchers because it takes them a lot more to develop arm strength, and you got to make sure the pitchers are healthy and safe.
Yeah, by the way, if it's an advantage to the hitters, that means more runs. I'm all for that. Is it an advantage for veteran players potentially who have more money, who have homes, who have batting cages potentially at home and have setups where they can be in game shape?
Yes, definitely that. And I also think it's an advantage for teams that have older rosters with older pitchers and older players because this becomes a sprint and not a marathon. And it's a completely different ballgame in 2020.
Now, that's interesting. It kind of explained that. So if I have older players, I'm not asking them to, you know, make 37 starts, you're saying. I'm asking a Justin Verlander to make 13.
That's right. Take a guy like Clayton Kershaw. You know, you like him over 15 starts, and he's going to max out when you talk about 35 or 36 starts. Also, to ask a player who's in his mid-30s, to have to play, you know, 192 games when you include spring training and when you include postseason, that's a marathon, much more challenging. But a veteran player, you get them in a sprint mode, they can be dangerous.
Here's what I'm concerned about baseball. If they're not willing to move off 162 games, I don't want baseball players playing in December in lousy weather. I would have no problem shortening the season to 80 games. Let's get to the playoffs. If I have a Dodger-Yankee World Series, I don't care if you played 80 games. I love it. How long would you be comfortable playing in the winter if you had to extend the season? Would you want to play in November?
I have no problem playing 82 games. You can make it half a season sprint. I think ratings will go through the roof.
Yep.
I think a December World Series in L.A. or Miami, much more like the Super Bowl, will be fantastic. And you can plan for it. Corporate outings can be planned for it. Just like what I saw you calling down in Miami for the Super Bowl, if we knew the World Series was in December in L.A. or Miami, we can plan ahead. We can sell corporate sponsorships. We can take over South Beach. And here's the other thing I would do, Colin. I think you have to open up the floodgates this year. And in order to compete with the NBA and NFL, I want to see every batting cage. I want to see, you know, Aaron Judge. I want to see Mike Trout. I want to see Bellinger. I want to see the great players hitting every day. And I want to watch them on my phone. I want to see players mic'd. I want to see just open up the floodgates and have fun and be disruptive. And if you have anything you want to think about, you've had a pilot that's crazy and wild, let it happen in 2020.
That's just great. By the way, I think that's absolutely the way to see the world. Alex Rodriguez joining us. You know, I saw something the other day and I thought of you. Hank Steinbrenner passed away. Listen, I grew up in Seattle, so I first saw you as a Mariner. But I was always comfortable with you going to the Yankees because I thought it was an organization befitting of your skills and your talent and your gravitas. So when you go look back at Hank and the Steinbrenner family, what memories do you have?
Well, first of all, Hank was just a tremendous guy. Resembles George a lot, Steinbrenner. He was outspoken. He was confident, good-looking. He had tremendous swagger. And he was most known for that great quote that he had when Papabon said, you know, he was talking, I don't know if he was talking about the Yankees, and Hank said, you know, it's like a gnat talking about, it's like having a gnat on my pinstripe or something. And he just gave us so much confidence. And to me personally, he was a big part of why I came back in 07, 08. He was very involved in the negotiations. And for me, the highlight was giving him a big hug when we won the world championship in 09. And it was a great moment.
You recently, as we've talked about before, you are a huge football fan, college pro. You recently had dinner, I am told, with Bill Belichick. What did you talk about?
Well, I've been a long time, admirer of Bill Belichick and the way he's gone about his business. I'm a fan of big coaches, you know, whether that's, you know, Jimmy Johnson or whether that's Pat Riley or Bill Belichick. And I just love the way he's gone about his business. He's incredibly smart. He's a humongous baseball fan. So I kept asking him baseball questions. He kept asking me, baseball questions. And It was fun.
You, I wonder what your reaction was, because there's very few athletes in America. You are still the most known baseball player, I would say, in America right now. So there's an iconic stature that very few, there's at any one time, there's maybe 10 iconic global athletes. Serena, Messi, you're in that status, stature. And I wonder, when Tom Brady leaves the winning culture and the brain power of New England and goes to Tampa, how did it land for you? What was your thought on that?
It was surprising. You know, Tom is such a great champion. You think about Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. He's as good as it gets and may go down as the best trio of all time. When you think about Robert Kraft as an owner, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady. And now he kind of doubles down and goes down to Tampa. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be great for the league. I know, Colin, I'm here in Miami. And you can feel the buzz here in Florida about Mr. Brady bringing all his championship rings, all his swagger, and his great resume down to Florida. I cannot wait to see that.
You know, this virus is obviously changing all of our lives. You know, Florida's been in the news a lot because, you know, it can be, it's taken, some believe, as a kind of a controversial stance on the virus and has not been as restrictive as, say, California. Be that as it may, if you could, for a couple of minutes, I know you're involved in a couple of charities down there and the virus and how it's affected you and your community.
Yeah, you know, it's been tough. You know, I'm my heart goes out for everyone who's having a hard time and obviously who has, you know, run into some health issues. New York has just been absolutely crushed. You know, my heart goes out and prayers for all those families. Colin, what we try to do, whether it's the All-In Challenge, where I donated one of my 2009 championship trophies, you know, like I said on social media, I have a spare one that obviously I'm going to keep, but, you know, make this about an experience and be able to raise, hopefully, tens of millions of dollars for those in need. Also, through Wheels Up and Presidente Beer, we've donated over a million meals to those. And it's just our responsibility. I believe that people in sports, in music, in entertainment, it is our debt that we owe those that we're in a position to give back and help back. And that's what we're trying to do. It's a very challenging time.
All right. I'm optimistic about all these sports. I don't like sports reporters telling me they know what's going to happen with these sports because I think it's incredibly fluid. I was told a couple of days ago, baseball really wants, they really want to get a season in. What have you been told?
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of players, coaches, owners. I think Major League Baseball is working around the clock with Rob Manfred, Tony Petitti, and they're trying to figure out what is the best thing to do. They're very cautious because at the end of the day, COVID-19, this virus, is going to tell us when to play. Baseball can determine when it's going to play. So, I really like the way they're going about it. I really hope that we are able to, even if it's a short season, it would be incredibly important to pilot a lot of these very aggressive approaches that, what the heck, it's just a shorter year. Let's let it fly.
He played 22 Major League Baseball seasons, an All-Star 14 times, drafted number one by my Seattle Mariners in 1993. His name is Alex Rodriguez, Fox Sports baseball analyst as well. My friend, good talking to you as always.
Thank you, Herb.